Okay. I just have a couple things I want to share with you, just words of encouragement. Some of our people in our church have really undergone some physical things going on in their lives, and it's been difficult. One of them is Mark Erskine, and I called Mark this week, and I just said, "Mark, how you doing?" He has liver cancer, and he's had different rounds of chemotherapy, and he's on a new set of rounds because the previous set of chemo wasn't really effective. And so I called him this week. I said, "Mark, how you doing?" He says, "Oh, I've been out irrigating." I said, "Really? You've been out irrigating?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "My markers for whatever that marker is, whatever it's testing," he says, "it was at 7,000, and after this chemotherapy, it's now at about 400. And so he said, I was just feeling really good and feel like I need to go out and do this. So I told him we're continuing to pray for him, so I want to encourage you to keep on praying for Mark as he goes through this ordeal with the Lord. You know, the neat thing is, you know, I'm talking about in our sermon today, is just loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving Him unconditionally, and in spite of the fact of what we're going through. And that's what Mark is doing, so it's a real praise. I also saw Lorraine this week. Lorraine has had her heart surgery, had some bypasses, and went over to her house, and she was looking really good, and she's just a little tired, but getting around. But some of you have been involved in shopping for her and doing some errands for her, and I appreciate each one of you that have reached out to our sister in the Lord and really been the body of Christ to her. So I want to thank you for that. She was doing well the other day. Went to go see Tim Simonson, and Tim is here today. About a little over a week ago, he had surgery on his heart. And I thought, you know, I'm going to his house, and I'll probably be in bed. I'll probably have the cough pill and all that. And I go up to the house, and Tim walks up to the door. I said, "Oh, hi, Dwayne, how you doing?" I go, "What are you doing up?" He said, "Oh, I just went for a 25-minute walk." You know, I go, "Wow, they get you up, don't they?" "Yeah, they do." But what a blessing just to see God as He carries us through, and knowing that when we're going through those times, people are praying. We're praying for one another. We are the body of Christ, and that's what we do. And so praising the Lord just for what He's doing in the lives of our people. We're the church that has heart issues. you know, it just seems like, but God's bringing us through. You know, in December, Lynn made it through his heart surgery, and God has just been really gracious to us. Well, let's pray and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning because we need to hear from Him. Lord, what a joy it is to sing praises to You. What a joy it is to gather together, to share stories of what we appreciate about the mothers that You've given us, Lord, and we're grateful for them. We're grateful for the women You've brought into our lives who helped nurture us, raise us. And Lord, we know they weren't perfect, but they were faithful, and we thank You for their love for us and the way they've impacted our lives. Lord, I pray for the mothers today that You would encourage them, or those who become grandmothers, great-grandmothers. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen them and use them to make a great impact spiritually in the lives of their children and grandchildren. And I pray, Lord, for any of the girls or marrieds that they don't have kids yet, Lord, if that's what You're going to do in their lives and give them children, I pray that they would see that as a high calling, Lord, that is a powerful ministry and calling, Lord, and it's an exalted calling. And I pray that You'd bless them, help them to understand that that is a beautiful thing, Lord. And that, Lord, You've created women to be moms, and they just do it naturally and do such a great job. And so, Lord, we thank You for our moms. We thank You for the moms here today. Encourage them, strengthen them in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Well, we've been on a mission, and we are on a mission at First Baptist Church, and the last couple of weeks, we've been going back to the basics about why we're here as a church body. We've been reminded that Jesus has called us individually and together as a local church to be about the mission of making disciples. And so I'm asking you to pray, and I've asked you to pray, and I want to keep that before us, to pray for one person that God would put on your heart in the next 3 months. I've already seen some fruit of that in my own life, in my neighborhood. person that I've known for a long, long time. God has given me opportunities to not only to minister to the dad, but also to the son through some various circumstances that are coming into their lives. And I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do. Brandon contacted me last night and he says, Pastor Dwayne, you got to get here. You got to come to my house. I said, I can't. I'm finishing up my sermon. He says, no, you got to get here. I think I'm leading someone to the Lord. And I couldn't go because I wasn't done with my sermon. And, you know, if you don't have your sermon done, that's not good on Sunday morning because Sunday's coming. And I said, Brandon, I can't right now. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is with you. You know what you've experienced with God. You know the truth. And so you just share it with him. I gave him some ABCs about sharing the gospel. And he wasn't able to make it here this morning, but I'm interested to find out, okay, God, what did you do through Brandon? Brandon's only known the Lord really for 2 years. And I'm excited to see, okay, God, what are you going to do through Brandon's life and in reaching out to this person? He said, well, it was an accident. It just happened. I said, it's not an accident. You know, God is putting this whole thing together. But the point is, you know, we're all on a mission, and God wants us to reach people. And I'm praying that we will reach those that God has given to us, that will make those relationships count. We'll be reaching out to people, and we'll be used by God to help them come into the kingdom. Or if they already know the Lord, God will use us to, you know, just minister to them and help them to grow further in the faith. Sherry's going to be doing that in June. She's going to be a nannying for Gray. Mom has to go back to work, and so that's going to be a discipleship opportunity for my wife with her grandson, and it's going to be a great opportunity there. We were reminded that, though, as we're on this mission, we've got to have the right heart attitude, and we learned that last week as the disciples were fishing, and they were casting out all night, and they caught nothing. And Jesus the next morning says, hey, cast over on the right side over there. And, of course, their nets were just filled with fish. Their nets didn't even break. And it was a living illustration for the disciples, for them to understand that as you're on this mission, men, as God has called his disciples, you can't do it. You're totally dependent on the Lord to accomplish this mission. And that's true for you and I. We're totally dependent upon God for this mission. And we also need the right motivation. A wholehearted love for Jesus is the only way that this mission is going to be accomplished. And so last week we saw that Jesus asked Peter a very simple but a soul-searching question on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And if you remember, it was right after breakfast, Jesus got away with Peter for a personal conversation. And knowing that Peter needed to really grow in this one area, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me unconditionally? And do you love me no matter what is an act of the will? Is that kind of love that the word is used for? And what Jesus was saying to Peter was this, Peter, if you're going to feed my sheep, if you're going to be a disciple maker, if you're going to be helping the flock to grow, you have to love me as an act of the will. That's got to be the motivating factor in your life. So three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter, three times, answers truthfully. And I appreciate that about Peter. And Peter said, Lord, I love you. And the word was phileo, a different kind of love. It was more of a brotherly love. It was more of a I adore you, a friendship kind of love. It wasn't the I love you, period, unconditional love. And I think Peter was being really honest with Jesus. He says, Lord, I'm fond of you, but I don't think I have that kind of love for you yet. And after Jesus asked him the same question a third time, the scriptures say Peter was really hurt. Do you realize that Jesus, in asking those questions, hurt Peter? I think Peter realizes through this line of questioning that his love for Jesus is falling short and that Jesus, in love, is trying to help him become aware of his shortcomings. You know, it's during Jesus' ministry to the religious leaders that they came up to him one day. He's with his disciples, and they said they were trying to test Jesus, and one of them was an expert in the law. And he goes up to Jesus, and he says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus was telling the Pharisees, he was saying, this is what life is all about. If you can narrow down all the commandments, and the Pharisees, by the way, had added on a bunch more commandments that God didn't include. And Jesus says, listen, this is the most important task, the most important priority, the most important activity you do in your life is this, is to love unconditionally the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so when Jesus asked Peter there on the shores of Galilee, do you love me? This is what he was asking. He's really saying, Peter, do you love me with the whole heart? Do you love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Because Jesus wanted to be Peter to be successful in making disciples. He wanted to make sure that his heart attitude was right, the motive for the mission was right. And in the same way, Jesus wants you and I to be successful. We may be in an interim period of time in the life of this church right now, but God still has us on this mission. That has not stopped at all. And as we're on this mission, in the same way, Jesus is asking you and me the same question that he asked Peter on the shores of Galilee. Do you love me? Do you love me? Is an act of the will. Right now, I want you to do something. It might seem a little different. That's okay. I want you just to close your eyes. Okay, just close your eyes for a minute. And I'd like you to picture yourself standing before Jesus. Okay, you're on the shore of Galilee, and you're there, and it's you and Jesus. And you know Jesus has put you on this mission to go and make disciples. And I want you just to picture Jesus asking you that question. And for me, it would be Dwayne, son of Baden, because that's my dad. Dwayne, son of Baden, do you love me unconditionally? Ask yourself that question. You can open your eyes. I did that this week in my office, and it had an impact on me. I just kind of shut my eyes, and I sat there, and I was trying to listen to the Jesus on the Sea of Galilee on the shores there, and try to hear what it'd be like to hear his voice saying, Dwayne, son of Baden, do you love me? You know, it's a challenging question, and it's a probing question, and at first blush, we might go, well, yeah, obviously, I love the Lord, but it requires some thought and some evaluation. Do I love Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind? And I would like for you and me in the next few weeks as we go through this series, I'm starting a new series, and it's called the Do You Love Me series. And I really want to take a look at that question, and I want us to quietly ponder that question in the next few weeks as you're out about doing what you're doing. As you have some time just to sit and maybe sip some tea or something in your backyard or whatever. Ponder that question. Dwayne, do you love me? In our Do You Love Me series, I want us to look at the scriptures to see what loving God with all of your heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength looks like. Throughout Jesus' ministry and throughout his life, he reveals through different situations what a wholehearted love for God looks like. Sometimes Jesus teaches through a positive example and you go, wow, I'm really inspired by that. And we'll find some of those. At other times, he points out a negative example. And we're going to be going, ooh, I don't want to be like that. But in the next few Sundays, we will be challenged by what it looks like to love Jesus with a whole heart, whole soul. And so I want you to be aware, though, because it might be painful. As we sit here and we listen to this, it might be, ooh, oh, Lord, that hurts a little bit. Just like when Jesus probed with Peter, it hurt Peter. But you know what? That hurt was a good thing. Because what that hurt did, it caused Peter to evaluate, do I really love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And it changed Peter. And he became a different person. Now, a huge piece of that was the Holy Spirit who came in him and filled him and used him to be a great man for God on God's mission. But a part of it was Peter being broken and saying, Lord, I recognize. I don't think he ever forgot for the rest of his life that conversation with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, on the shores there. And I think he remembered. And so it could be painful for us. I know it's going to be a little painful for me. And I want us to ask the Holy Spirit where our love for the Lord is maybe lacking. Do you know it's possible to kind of lose our first love? That's what happened to the church at Ephesus. 30 years, and if you read the book of Ephesus, as Paul writes to them, he's saying, man, the church out there in the world hears about your love for Jesus. 30 years later, you know what John is writing in Revelation? John writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, you've got some good things going on. He says, you know what? Here's a problem. You've lost your first love. 30 years. That's all it took was the church to go from loving God with a whole heart to lacking in their love for God. 30 years. And John rebukes them. Jesus rebukes them, and John records that. And so, I want us to look at what does loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength look like as we look at Jesus in His life and ministry. And I was going to do two of them today, but I'm getting a little more wiser. I'm only doing one today, okay? Is that okay? And I'll pick it up next week. There's several of them. But I want to do less so there will be more. And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 to 62. And it's in the middle of Jesus' ministry. He's called His disciples and they're with Him regularly. And they're going out and He's going to be sending out the 72 and they're going to be doing ministry up in the Galilee area, and they're going to go out to the many villages that are there, and they're going to be proclaiming the kingdom of God. And one day as they're walking along, this man comes up to Jesus, and I want to read it for you. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, well, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, when Jesus asked him, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you right now, as we come to your word, Lord, as we look at you and your response to these who wanted to follow you, or you reached out to them and said, please come follow me. Lord, would you teach us in this what it means to love you with a whole heart? And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit in the days to come, as we ask that question, that you would have asked, put to us, do you love me? Lord, would you open up areas in our lives where maybe we don't love you as we ought? Show us, Lord, where we fall short. Lord, give us a desire, give us a hunger, give us a thirst to love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in this section here in Jesus' life, a volunteer comes up to Jesus, and you can picture Jesus with all of his disciples, and they're walking along the road, and a guy approaches Jesus, and he comes up to him and says, Lord, you know, I will follow you wherever you go. And what do you think Jesus' normal response would be? Wouldn't it be like, hey, that's great, another disciple, come join me, yeah, hop on board. I mean, we do that when we have volunteers in the church. People say, hey, I'd like to help in the nursery. I'd like to, yeah, absolutely, come on, we'd love to have you. Jesus doesn't do that. You know what Jesus does? He says, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. You know what Jesus is saying? He kind of discourages the person. This guy says, I want to follow you, Jesus. I'm willing to go wherever you are. And Jesus is saying, whoa, 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 count the cost. Lord, I'll do anything for you. Count the cost. I will go anywhere you want me to go. Count the cost. And I think it's really interesting that we really don't hear anything from this man ever again. Maybe he did eventually, came back around, but we don't really hear anything more. The second man, Jesus actually initiates the invitation. Okay, the first man voluntarily came up to Jesus. The second man comes to Jesus and Jesus says, hey, I want you to come and follow me. I'm the rabbi. I have words of life. I'm going to tell you about the kingdom of God. You come and be a part of my kingdom. Come be a part of my mission. Come join me. And the man responds with this. He says, well, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. It could be said, Lord, let me go. Let me first go and bury my dad. And there's a phrase in there that shows us the man's heart. It says, Lord, let me first. Let me first go and bury my father. A little phrase in there, it says a lot. What is that phrase? Me first. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says, you know, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, you read that and first blush, you might say, Jesus, you're kind of insensitive. What are you doing? The guy wants to go bury his dad. That's not what's going on here. If the man was to bury his dad, in that culture, in that day, when your parent died, you didn't wait weeks on end. You buried him right away. He would have been buried within 2 days because they felt like their spirit would be hovering for maybe 3 or 4 days. They wanted to get him buried and wait to honor the body. He would have already taken care of it. The issue wasn't that he needed to have that time to go and mourn his dad's death. His dad hadn't died yet. And so, the man's dad is not dead. And so, what the man is saying is, hey, Lord, you're asking me to come and to follow you, but I'm not ready yet. Not right now. I got some other priorities. I got some other things. I've got a few things I want to do first. Down the road, maybe, I'll do it, but not right now, because I need to do this first. And Jesus says, you know what? Let the dead, spiritually dead, bury the physically dead. What I want for you is to come right now and to follow me. There was the third man, and Jesus also, in this situation, he also invites the man to come and follow him. And he says this. he says, I will follow you, Lord. The other person says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. The third man is really saying this, I will follow you, Lord, but I got some conditions. I will follow you, Lord, except I need to do this, I want to do this. And what Jesus is saying is that, no, I want you to die to yourself and I want you to make me the priority in your life. In each of these cases, the individuals are saying they're not really counting the cost. And so, loving God, if we're to really love God with a whole heart, it means I'm willing to count the cost to follow Him. It won't be, Lord, me first, I need to do something. It won't be, Lord, I'll follow You, but not right now. Lord, You want me to reach out to this person? I don't feel like it right now. I'm too busy. Okay? Or, Lord, You want me to minister to this person over here? No, I don't have time right now. I got too many things on my plate. When God is telling us, this is what I want you to do, He's saying, I want you to do it now. Loving God means that I count the cost and let God have priority in my life. There are times when I know God has told me, Dwayne, this is what I want you to do. And my response has been, not right now, Lord. I've got some other important things to do, even ministry things to do. And God's saying, no, that's not what I want you to do. Come, follow me. There was a girl, she was 12 years old. She understood what it was to count the cost. She was a student down in Southern California, and she was, as a 14-year-old, she was in junior high, middle school, and she started a Bible study on her campus. And her passion was to be used by God. And so she would store up Bibles in her garage, and other youth pastors found out about that, and so they would get Bibles donated, and she would try to hand out Bibles to just about everybody at her school that she could. She endured some ridicule for that. But when she was 12 years old, she wrote this essay. And it says, since I have my life before me, listen to this. This is Brooke. She writes this as a 12-year-old. I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I ever have been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am as a follower of Jesus. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live in a history. I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I will wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments, nothing in between. Just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I will have my life before me. I will give others the joy I and God will give me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best. A 12-year-old wrote that. Tragically, 2 years later, as a freshman in high school, 14 years old, Brooke was in a car accident on the way to the movies. She passed away that day. Her life ended, but her impact didn't. Nearly 1,500 people came to her memorial service. And her pastor had the privilege of sharing the gospel with people. And that day, 200 kids came up at a funeral service. And they put their faith in Christ. And they handed out Bibles to all the people that came that day. You know, in her brief 14 years, Brooke counted the cost of what it was like to follow Jesus. She understood it would be hard. She understood it would be difficult. But nevertheless, she said, yes, Jesus. She didn't say, maybe tomorrow, Jesus. I will, but let me go do this first. And so what is the message for you and I today? If we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, it says that, Lord, I'm going to be willing to to count the cost to follow you. When you call me to go do something, Lord, I'm going to be willing to go do it. It may cost me money. It may cost me my reputation. It may cost me inconvenience. But Lord, I'm willing to do it. Count the cost. A person with a whole heart for God counts the cost, and then they obey. This week, as you and I just go through our days, I'd like you to sit and listen to Jesus asking you that question. Do you love me? And as you think about that, let Him penetrate your soul. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you in your spirit. And let Him talk to you about counting the cost. And let Him reveal to you and ask Him, say, Lord, you have permission. Show me in my heart, where is it that I'm really not willing to count the cost and follow you? Show me in my heart, Lord, where maybe it's me first. I want to do what I want to do. Boy, I do that. And God is saying, no. If you love me with all your heart, you'll count the cost and you'll follow me. This week, enjoy the presence of the Lord. Let Him speak to you. And then obey and respond. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for that question that You asked Peter. And Lord, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be there and to have You ask me that same question. Dwayne, do you love me? Lord, how would I respond? And Father, I long for each of us to answer that question. I long for each of us, Lord, to allow Your Holy Spirit to probe deep within our soul and to meet with us, Lord, and to say, yeah, there's an area here where I think you need to give it over to me. You've kind of lost your first love. And God, would you speak to us this week? Because, Lord, why do we do this? We do this, Lord, because we want to be your followers. We want to follow you. We want to be about your mission. Lord, there are many men and women and boys and girls who do not yet know you in our community. And Lord, you want to use us, the church, to reach people. And so, Lord, our heart motivation has to be correct. It has to be, Lord, because I love you, I want to be on this mission with you. And so, God, would you meet with us even this week? Would you draw us to yourself? Would you speak to us, Holy Spirit? Show us where, yeah, we just have lost that first love, or we just aren't totally committed to counting the cost. And Lord, change us, even if it hurts, Lord, because we know it's what's best for us. And so, Lord, this week, touch our hearts. Oh, Lord, that we would love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.